The message this week is titled, Four Encouraging Stories from Mark. The scripture reading is Colossians 1, 15-20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Hi, everyone. I'm missing you all, but I hope that you're doing well. And I keep encouraging all of us to keep praying for one another and keep reaching out to one another. And I'm reminded of how until we can meet again, and even when we do meet again, that we want to live by the Spirit, which is the fruit of God's Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and control, that we just look forward to the time that we can be together. But until that time, we just keep putting our best foot forward, knowing that we're in God's hands, and that God is in control of all things. And that's a little bit about what I want to talk about today. There are four Gospels, as you know, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first Gospel that was actually written was the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is a quick read, and the word quickly is used often in Mark. And Mark's Gospel is one of belief. And I want to share with all of us today four stories back to back to back of Jesus encouraging us to keep believing. Never cease to be amazed at the amazing things Jesus said and did. And never cease to be surprised at the surprising things Jesus said and did. The disciples were followers of Jesus, but they were waiting, I think, at least at the first year or so of being a disciple of Jesus and watching Jesus minister. In their head, they had Jesus somewhat as a political figure, that if he is the Messiah, that we're going to rule the world. And it's going to be a government type of organization. But that's not what Jesus was about. Jesus was about the kingdom of God, which comes as a self-sacrifice, reaching out to one another, and amazing people by his nature. And so I want to spend a couple of minutes looking at the latter part of Mark chapter 4 and all of chapter 5, looking at belief and understanding that we can have faith in Jesus no matter what is happening all around us, that he is in control, even when it feels like sometimes the world is out of control. So I want to start this in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, that there is nature itself, a storm that wants to say that it's bigger than Jesus. Right now, this pandemic is really grabbing hold of the entire world. And I think for a lot of people, they feel like, when's it going to end? How can we deal with all of this? And so this first story begins in Mark chapter 4, where a storm is trying to say, I'm bigger than Jesus. And then following that, we're going to look at another story where the demons want to say, we're bigger and stronger than Jesus. And following that, we're going to notice illness, how illness is wanting to say, I'm bigger and stronger than Jesus. And then, of course, eventually the last one is death, where death wants to have its last word, and Jesus will not let death have its last word. Jesus reminds us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So when you get lonely, when things are troublesome in your life, we remember that Christ lives in us and he is in control. And never cease being surprised and amazed at what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do, not only in the world, but also in our lives. Okay, so this first one is this storm trying to say, I'm bigger and stronger than anything. We're going to read this. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And then it says this, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that the boat was nearly swamped. Terrifying. And yet Jesus was in the back part of the boat, the stern, and he was sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if this storm is bigger than all of us and even you? And Jesus gets up and he does something unique. He rebukes the wind and says to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and was completely calm. Now, the Bible doesn't say it, but I think the disciples' eyes were big. Their mouths must have been open. What is this? Well, I want to stop here for just a moment, and I'm going to go to the book of Colossians. And Paul is saying to us in Colossians that Jesus is in control of all things. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15, it says that says this, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. And then these profound words, for by Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So when we go back now to the story in Mark chapter 4 of this storm of nature trying to say, I'm going to overwhelm you. Right now, some people may feel that the pandemic is saying, I'm going to destroy you. I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. And yet all along, Jesus is in control. Now, does that mean that some people aren't going to get sick? Oh, people will get sick. Will it mean that some people will die? Yes, some people will die. But the reality is that the overall authority of all things is in the hands of Jesus. No one lives to himself alone. No one dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. And we give ourselves to the Lord. And when nature says, I'm bigger and stronger than you, Jesus comes to us and says, be quiet, be still. I am in control of your life. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So the story continues on. There are four different parts to the story. After they get to the other side of the boat, they go across the lake, and they come to the region of what's called the Gerasenes. And Jesus gets out of the boat, and a man with an evil spirit came running from the cemetery. He lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore. He was somebody who was overwhelmed, I guess, with a spirit of some kind, and people tried to keep him away. They tried to chain him up, and it says he had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. How horrible. Somebody's life who was just completely overwhelmed and didn't want to be this way. And this illness was so powerful, this mental illness, this negative, dark angel thinking was upon this man, whether it was from Satan himself or not, it probably was, and he was overwhelmed. But when this man saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of Jesus, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" It's not the man saying this. It's this evil spirit that is within him. And the evil spirit says, "Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to this evil spirit, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And then Jesus asked, not the man, but the spirit inside of him, this negative spirit, this evil spirit, "What is your name?" And the evil spirit says, "My name is Legion, for we are many," these evil spirits inside him. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. The evil spirits knew that they had no control over Jesus. And in a world today where there's so many negative thinking and overwhelm, we can get ourselves into a real bad way of thinking. And Jesus comes along to set us free. Mark's gospel is a gospel that reminds us to believe. When nature wants to say, "I'm bigger than Jesus," they're not. When evil spirits and the negativity of this world wants to say, "I'm bigger than Jesus," we're not. And so what happens is Jesus sends the evil spirit into these pigs that were around them, and he gives permission for the evil spirits to go into these pigs. And these pigs run off into the lake, and they are drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed, who scared them to death by the legion of demons. Now he's sitting there. He's dressed in his right mind, and they were amazed. Now, this word says afraid. They were afraid of why this all happened, but they were amazed. Never cease being amazed at the amazing things Jesus said and did. Jesus, from there, gets back into a boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus, "I want to go with you." I guess so. But Jesus did not let him. He said this, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you." Can you imagine that homecoming? This man who was a loving person, probably a husband, probably a father, and this demon takes over his life. He's now away from his family. He's scaring everyone. He's hurting people. He's hurting himself. And Jesus comes along and helps him, gets him back into his right mind. And the question that Mark always leaves us with is, do you believe in this Jesus? And 2,000 years later, that's the question that Jesus asks us. When the storms seem overwhelming, do you believe I'm with you? When evil spirits or all these horrible things take place, Jesus whispers to us, do you believe I'm still with you? Because he promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm always with you. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to go well. But faith says to us, even when it looks like Jesus isn't with us, it's a reminder that he is. He's always with us. And then the third story is a powerful story as well. Jesus can control nature. He can control evil. Well, what about illness? And then it says, Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side, and a large crowd had gathered around him. And while he was by the lake, one of the synagogue rulers by the name of Jairus came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at the feet of Jesus and pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to, I suspect, internal bleeding, it says bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all the money she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and just touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Amazing faith. Immediately, her internal bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Just stupendous. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd, and remember, the crowd was all pressing in toward him, and he asked the question, who touched my clothes? And they said, you see the people crowding all around you? And you ask, who touched me? I mean, everyone's touching you. They're pressing in on him. And Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole story. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your sufferings. There's no way that I could ever adequately, or any of us could adequately, put the emotion right the way it was. There's no way that we can ultimately describe how she must have felt. There's no way that we could really describe the disciples when they thought that they were going to die and Jesus brings peace to them. There's just no way that we could actually get into the mind of this man who was full of demons and becomes right in his mind, becomes a wonderful, whole, mature person again. There's just no way of describing these things. And yet, I suspect for every single one of us, there have been times in our life when we feel so terrified, or we feel so separated, or we feel that we've sinned so horribly, or whatever in your life, that we just feel there's no way anyone could actually understand how I'm feeling. And what Mark is wanting us to believe is to believe in Jesus, that he knows how you're feeling. And that sometimes when life seems so out of control, he whispers to us, I'm with you. And when it feels like you're all alone and you're in such pain, in such difficulty, Jesus whispers to us, I'm with you. In your agony, in your isolation, in your pain, and also and in your joy and amazement and good things, I will never leave you. Jesus has faith in us. He believes in us. He created us, and he wants us to know that and to feel comfortable and safe with him. That's why I say to Christians today who feel isolated, take communion when you can. Pray when you can. Read scripture when you can. Reach out to others when you can, because we're not an island unto ourselves. We're created in God's image by him and for him. And then the last story that I want us to share is something that all of us will face one day, and that is our own death. And here's the story that happens. And you recall that so far Jesus has been nonstop working and helping with people. And it says in verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, saying, your daughter has died. So it would be beyond words what this man was going through. But then the friend said, your daughter has died, so there's no reason to bother Jesus anymore. I mean, your daughter has died. Why bother him? And Jesus ignored what they said. And Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid. Just believe. And that's Mark's gospel. Just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at Jesus. And that's never a good move. Laughing at Jesus is not a good move. They thought they knew better than the one who created all things. Remember the passage that we read just a few moments ago, Colossians chapter 1? That Jesus created all things. He sustains all things. So whether we live or we die, we belong to Christ. Death does not separate us from Christ. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die, yet shall they live. And it's a reminder, and Jesus demonstrated this, I think, bringing this child back from the dead to remind everyone that death is not the end. So let me read that story. While all this commotion was going on, they laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples who were with him and went in where the child was, and he took the little girl by the hand and said, little girl, I say to you, get up. And when Jesus speaks, the one who created all of life, when Jesus speaks to the person who has died, get up, they're going to get up. And of course, she did. And he gave strict orders not to let people know about this, but gave her something to eat because she was a 12-year-old girl when she was hungry. Often when Jesus did some incredible miracle in Mark, he immediately says, don't tell anyone about this. Because Jesus was not a miracle worker in the sense of this is the ultimate. Jesus didn't come to do miracles. He came into the world to say that he is the Son of God. Whether a person lives or dies, He has come for all people. Remember what we just read in Colossians chapter 1, that he is the Lord of the living and the dead. And one day, that girl is going to grow up, and she's going to do, and of course, this happened a long time ago, that girl who was brought up from the grave or brought up from her death, she would eventually die, just like all of us will eventually die. But it's the reminder that in Mark's gospel, do we believe? Never cease to be surprised at the surprising nature of Jesus. Never cease to be amazed at the amazing things Jesus said and did. Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus calmed the demons. Jesus calmed illness. And Jesus did not allow death to have its last word. One day, you and I will close our eyes and we'll die. But it's not the last word, because we belong to Christ. And the reminder is, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So right now, we're all in this pandemic together. Keep reaching out, but keep your faith strong. Keep reaching out to others, remembering that God has us firmly in his hands. I hope you have a great week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. We've suspended our regular services because of the coronavirus pandemic. You can see videos for sermons on our YouTube channel or at facebook.com/Beamsville Church of Christ. You can subscribe to this weekly sermon podcast through Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you get podcasts. Just search for Beamsville. All of our past messages, videos, and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.